Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Thanks to the guests to join me on the show today. Joe Ostrowski, of course, of BetQL, and John Fanta from the Field of 68. Talked all kinds of things to both of them. Chief amongst those, the NCAA tournament. Thanks to everyone on the Twitch and the text line. Try to be a little better. I'm not as effective with monitoring the Twitch, but try to be a little bit better about that throughout the LoHo show today. So I'm glad that those, especially on the text line, got a little kick out of me referencing the whole moisture thing today as well. But I think as we get into transition, that's going to bring about a question in my head. This transition brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty. And also the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. And this hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. I'm transitioning to Danny Parkins, who is solo on the Parkins and Spiegel show today here on The Score, because apparently everyone is out in Las Vegas without Danny, which seems like some kind of bizarro world reversal, where I feel like normally it would be Danny who'd be in Vegas without everyone else. But something different has happened here. But there's a word that's been coming up the last few minutes on the text line here. I'm not completely understanding why, when I mentioned moisture earlier, why there's folks texting in the word cheeks. Perhaps you could enlighten me, Parko.
Man, ask your guy Brandon Fryer. I didn't know about cheeks. Did you know what cheeks was?
I mean, it depends on the context. I mean,
getting cheeks.
I do have delightfully dimpled cheeks, but that's not. I don't assume that that's the context.
I believe
of cheeks when I mentioned moisture earlier.
Yeah. I don't know. My wife doesn't like the word moist, by the way. She says it has dirty connotations.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got a kid. You got another kid on the way. So, yeah, I mean, the other context of cheeks would be the one that the kid
that I learned about last week.
For baby making. Oh, okay. So that's what
it was. Okay. It was basically that Shane and Brandon Fryer weren't comfortable with me once I learned what it was saying it. They said that I was too white to say it or something like that. Right. I don't know. Brandon Fryer said that, you know, he was in a barbershop or with his buddies somewhere. I don't know. And they said, why'd you let the white boy say cheeks? I was like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know that it
so
was
the ruling came
way.
Down from the barbershop. Everybody voted down your ability to use the term cheeks in the
but I didn't
context.
Even want to use the term cheeks. They used it in a sentence, and then I said, you know, like, hand up, excuse me, old 35-year-old over here, can we whiteboard this for the audience? And they whiteboarded it for the audience.
Whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yes, gotcha.
And whiteboard, white boy, whatever. And yeah, and they explained it to me, and I was cool. I was like, oh, awesome. And so then I started, you know, over the next like 2 hours of the show, just like working it in, sometimes correctly, sometimes incorrectly. Probably overdid it a little bit, and got my privileges revoked, apparently.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Does it come up in household conversation with you and the wife now? I mean, is this something you've introduced her to?
No, it hasn't. It could, but you know, and this stage of the pregnancy, and
yeah, not a whole lot of cheeks potential.
No,
at this point,
no. It's a dry spell up in here, Aunt. So, but that's okay. That's right.
It's a good reason for it.
It's just time. You know what I mean? So,
You shared a cheek story about your folks with Mike Singletary, man.
Yeah.
How'd that go over?
What with who?
it depends on the audience.
Yeah. I think the audience enjoyed it. I think Singletary enjoyed it. I know my mom wasn't terribly thrilled.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's what I was curious about. Yeah.
But you know, it's her fault. She told me that back in the day, and she didn't know that I was going to get onto the 50,000-watt blowtorch. Then it went around. Tanny's open yesterday, like recapping it, you know, went around the group chat with my siblings. And so that was met with a mixture of laughter and tears. Like, you know the crying laughing emoji?
Yeah.
I think that's, like, literally what they were doing, because they were, like, both sad to, like, have that image and thinking of it, but laughing at, you know, the jokes being made at my expense. So, yeah, man. And then Speak says he wanted to make it a goal of the show to like contact as many 85 Bears as possible and work them in. I'm like, isn't Tom Thayer, Mike Singletary, and Jim McMahon enough? Like, do we really need to just keep going down the list? Do we need to call Leslie Frazier? Do we need to find Willie Gall? Like, I don't think we do, but we've had dumber initiatives.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, like one of my like ethoses is I love the end of the movie Animal House. A stupid and futile gesture should be done on somebody's part, and we're just the guys to do it. Like, I think that is just so perfect. Don't take yourself too seriously. You can make a point, but you can make a point in a funny way about something's dumb, right? So they're protesting getting kicked out of Faber College, so they enter a float in the parade, and it is a giant cake that says, "Eat me." And that's just their stupid and futile gesture, and I think it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. So like when we made up the 3.5 million shirts to protest the Bulls selling of the draft pick to Jordan Bell and to the Warriors to draft Jordan Bell, I was thinking, like, that's a stupid and futile gesture, but it entertained us. It made us laugh. So we've taken up dumber initiatives, I guess is my point, than contacting members of the 1985 Bears for the sole purpose of telling that story or working it into conversation.
I mean, out of the variety of ways that their Super Bowl championship continues to be celebrated to this day in the city, like I was just talking about the 37-year anniversary of one of my favorite movies, The Last Dragon, a few minutes ago. 37 years since the Bears, I guess the Super Bowl itself for 36 years. Super Bowl took place calendar year 86. But, you know, of a similar vein, you know, it has been a more than a full lifetime since that Super Bowl championship. So this could just be a way to update that celebration for some of these aging Bears greats, these legends. There are still ways that that game is affecting people in a positive way. So, I mean, through that lens, this is something that kind of updates the celebration of the 85 Bears.
I mean, I would argue that I'm the most currently relevant thing about it. Like, it's been so damn long, and that's what we were talking about with Singletary, and he even said, he's like, I want the Bears so badly to do something meaningful of stories and remembering and celebration so people will stop talking about us. Like, it's been like those guys have all moved on. We're like, how's your relationship with the Bears? He's like, it's not a great one. We're like, oh, really? Why? He's like, because I've had 17 jobs since then. like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you move on. Like, you remember the times fondly, but like, then you just go about living your life. And those guys, for the most part, all have, but Bears fans, there is no judgment here. It's the team's fault. Like, haven't really given you much, right? We celebrate Hester, celebrate Urlacher, celebrate that Super Bowl trip but you knew that wasn't like prolonged success. Rex Grossman and you were led by defense. Like, those, you can win a championship that way, but you can't have like a decade run that kind of way. So yeah, man, Bears fans were forced to live in the past. But it's just weird for me that like the thing that most Bears fans want to celebrate is the reason I'm here, and B, happened literally before I was born. It's a weird
spot. Your existence
before my existence
directly with that. Right. Yeah. And congratulations, by the way, on that. I mean, that is quite a way to enter the world based off of the Super Bowl shuffle.
Well, true story also.
It was playing in the background?
Well, yeah, halftime. it was a blowout. But as the story has been told to me, but I was also, I was delivered during the 86 World Series.
Oh, wow.
And so my parents were going to name me what they named me, Daniel Jacob Parkins. But because of the story of when it began and when it was ending, Super Bowl and World Series, they had apparently a conversation of should his initials be MVP? Because with Super Bowl and World Series, so they were considering Martin Victor Parkins for MVP. I personally am glad they chose went with the original name, but I don't know.
You don't
like MVP,
feel like a Martin?
I don't feel like a Martin, but also, but like MVP could have been pretty good for a radio name, like DJ MVP.
Right.
But you know, here I am. So
there you are. You are. And it's worked out okay for you. I used the word methodical when I was describing how the Bears have been approaching things earlier. And
that's generous.
I mean, it's the way they've been rolling. And I, I'm not necessarily shocked by it. I do anticipate some weaponry being acquired at some point here. You know, they brought in some receivers, so I don't have any doubt that they're going to continue to try to draft them. I think the last time you and I spoke, whatever it was, either last week or week before last or something, but
it was when Spiegel was big timing you.
Ah, yes, that's what it was. And they had made the Larry Ogunjobi transaction, but it hadn't, you know, he hadn't failed the physical yet at that point. So that right. was going to be, hey, here's our three technique. We've at least solidified that position. Going to build around in other spots. We were talking about the second round with the multiple picks. Maybe both would go wide receiver. I think at least one will still likely be a wide receiver at this point. But, you know, that position, the interior, that defensive line, it matters quite a bit. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears went defense, went, you know, if there was a guy who they just saw in that three technique lens in the draft there in round two, they view that as
so you don't think their consolation prize, Jones from the Chargers, you don't think he is like
he's
you know,
certainly he's a step Ogunjobi down as light. A playmaker. Yeah, yeah. He's a step down as a playmaker from Ogunjobi. Like, Ogunjobi isn't Aaron Donald, but he penetrates into the backfield.
Right, he's very good
playmaker. Yeah. So I mean, to not have that there, you know, I could still see them looking to add there, and potentially if one, because it is, as it tends to be, it's a deep D-line class, more so on the edge than on the interior. But if there's a guy who happened to be there in one of those picks in round two, I wouldn't be stunned, because I would imagine since Ogunjobi was their first splash-ish move that they tried to make that didn't work out, that there might still be a lingering effect from that where they want to make sure, because they showed us how important they view that position. Wouldn't be shocked if they took day two and tried to make sure they added some depth there also.
I mean, they're obviously in the honeymoon phase where they get to set the franchise in the direction that they want, and they get to, you know, no one's on the clock, right? No one's getting fired. The GM and the coach are hired at the same time. So if they completely flub this draft and next season the Bears are 4-13, like, they get next year's draft and they get next year's free agency, right? So they can do whatever they want. But what I said on the show yesterday was I kind of – envy's not the right word, but I respect what Miami is doing, because Miami is basically saying, we don't know if Tua's the guy, but by the end of this season, we're going to know if Tua's the guy. We hired him an offensive coach. We traded for Tyreek Hill. We franchise tagged Mike Gesicki, our tight end. We signed two other wide receivers. We signed Teron Armstead, best left tackle in the market. We signed a left guard. We brought in Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds to run Kyle Shanahan's running attack. Like, if one of two things happens, either Tua is successful and great, the Dolphins are off and running, or the offense isn't good, they will have Tua to blame, and then they will be an attractive destination for the next quarterback. And so the only concern that I have is because of the dead cap space, because there's a long runway here for Eberflus and Poles, because there are so many damn roster spots for the Bears to fill, I am worried that the Bears are going to go through a season where at the end of it we'll say Fields had some flashes, he had some ups, he had some downs, but we still don't really know, because he's got bottom five talent around him. Like, they, you know, and so then, and then it delays answering your question at quarterback. And you can't spend resources you don't have, right? Like, you don't have a ton of cap space. You do have a ton of roster holes to fill. You don't have a first round pick. So, like, this isn't necessarily their fault. It's the situation they inherited. But to me, that is worst case scenario. Is that you go through the year and you still feel like you don't know how good Fields can be because you didn't surround him with enough. Best case scenario is you haven't been able to surround him with enough because of the inherited situation, and he still is awesome. And he's like the rising tide lift all boats like kind of player that elevates Byron Pringle, that elevates Darnell Mooney, that elevates Cole Kmet. Then you're good. Like, then then you feel like you got your guy for the next 10 years, and away we go. But that's it. It's not a blame on what they've done, because again, their hands are tied behind their back a little bit. But to me, that's what this season feels like it's setting up for, because man, the Bears, they don't have enough talent on offense.
Right.
Period.
Frankly, they don't have a whole lot of players anywhere yet.
You know, right.
They got a lot of bodies. They just have to accumulate, even regardless of talent. They just need people. So, yeah, personnel acquisition is going to have to step up quite a bit here. And however much of it is high level, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of elite level talent that's going to be on the Bears this coming season, aside from maybe what's already here and then what will end up being drafted. But as far as veterans that they might acquire, it feels like that market is starting to dry up.
It does. So do you think there's any chance, because they don't have a lot of draft picks, even though they acquired a few extra from the Khalil Mack trade, do you think there's any chance they package the second round picks together to move into the first round to get a more blue chip caliber receiver for Fields? Because I like Mooney a lot. Mm-hmm. Like I think he's got a fairly high ceiling. Like I've said, his absolute best case scenario is Stephon Diggs. Like I'm not predicting that, obviously, but like
right.
Similar body type, similar speed, drafted virtually in the same round. Like to me, that is a absolute ceiling comp for him. But I'm a lot more comfortable if he's the two,
right?
You know, like, yeah. But him as the one is asking a lot for that mm-hmm. guy, and it's asking a lot of Fields. So I would be very surprised if they did it, given how many roster spots they have to fill and that they're not at all a desperate front office yet. But it'd be exciting if you went up and you got, you know, a middle of the first round, you know, 15 to 21st, 22nd, somewhere in that range that you could probably trade up to and go out and get a receiver. That would be exciting. I just don't expect it'll happen.
Yeah, it would be exciting. I would be surprised by it, especially because of this draft cycle where, like, you know, quarterback's a down draft for that, so you're not going to see as many people trying to, like, trade up to reach for that position as we normally see in the draft cycle.
Yep.
But then also, it is a very deep draft for a wide receiver. We hear that a lot over the years. This season is certainly no different in that vein. And there are other years recently here where the receiver position has been viewed in a positive light where the guys didn't run that fast. And we know between both Poles and Eberflus, they've both been talking about speed. There's a lot of really fast guys in this draft as well. So if just one name like a Jahan Dotson from Penn State, who's super fast and played with bad quarterbacks his entire time in college and still put up big numbers for the Nittany Lions, that's the type of guy that could maybe be pushed down into round two, depending on how the first round shakes out. What the Bears' first pick is at, what, 39, I think it is?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if a Jahan Dotson or someone of that level of acclaim, that just that all-around skill, I'll be surprised if he doesn't go in round one, but he's the type of guy that could potentially get pushed into round two. So, I mean, there's going to be guys available at 39 to place a high value on. So, you know, the elite of the elite, if you want to trade up into round one to get them, I wouldn't be mad at them for it, but I'd be surprised because of the overall number of guys you need for the roster, and that spot will be there for a guy who can contribute right away.
I'm with you. I agree. I just think you're asking. The only reason I could, like, in the back of my head, I can't dismiss it completely is because you are asking way too much of Justin Fields in his second year as it currently is constituted.
Mm.
Learn a new offense with no number one receiver and an unproven offensive line. Like, good luck, kid. That is about as difficult of a situation as you possibly could hand the franchise, you know? And so that's why I can't quite dismiss it entirely, because I just feel like they need a hell of a lot more talent for him, one way or the other. Like they need talent for that guy, or else he's going to get his head kicked in again, and we're going to, at the end of the year, is Justin Fields a franchise quarterback? Well, look what he did in this game. Yeah, but what about this game? Yeah, you know, like, and I think I just that's a terrible end game heading into year three, because then you're the Dolphins, and like I said, I respect it, but it's the actions of a desperate team. trading five
draft
picks.
It's a desperate
picks.
Team who has won some games the last couple of seasons here, though. So, I mean, the Dolphins have some guys. In addition to all this talent they've accumulated, the money that's been spent, there were a couple of years there with Brian Flores where they were winning games around the 500 mark. So it's not like the entire Dolphins roster is full of guys who haven't won at the NFL level. And then now you've spent money to get blue chippers in there with you. So, I mean, when you look at the Dolphins' approach, Dolphins fans from the quarterback perspective are still looking at Tua like, I don't know exactly what to make of this guy yet. Some of them because he hasn't shown elite traits yet or shown elite playmaking ability, then some of them already won't want to run him off. But at least you're going into this season now where you do have this cap-friendly situation where you can go out and spend and you accumulate talent for a team that has won. You know, not deep playoff runs, but the Dolphins have guys who've won football games in recent years at the NFL level. Now it's here. You got all the toys now, too. So I don't necessarily think the Dolphins situation is a bad example for what the Bears could build towards. If you get a season where from a win-loss perspective, because I don't think the Bears, I was saying this last night, I don't think they want to finish the season with the number one overall pick. I don't get the impression they're trying to be awful. They definitely need some more talent to not be awful. But I do get the impression that they want to accumulate or acquire enough talent to be competitive. That would just win games. You don't want Justin Fields getting his block knocked off. Well, at the same time, recognizing we're not a Super Bowl team right now. Let's build infrastructure. Let's surround him with enough to be competitive. And then a year from now, where they may have the most cap space in the NFL, all right, you've built with Justin Fields. We've got infrastructure now. What the Colts tried to do if Andrew Luck didn't decide to retire from football. You know, like the Colts could have been this current dynasty right now if Luck didn't decide to walk away because they finally did add infrastructure around him a few years into his career.
It's good stuff. And the only thing, the reason I compare it to that is the other two quarterbacks in Tua's class, Burrow and Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And those teams didn't need to do the desperate thing that the Dolphins are doing. Even though you're right, like they've won some games. It's not like they're an awful franchise, but like the Chargers were able to say, we've got our quarterback, so we're throwing a ton of resources at defense this year, right? Sign J.C. Jackson, trade for Khalil Mack. Like they have more talent. They have Eckler, they have Allen, they have Mike Williams, they drafted Rashawn Slater, they signed Corey Linsley. Like I understand they are just a much more talented football team, but the Bengals were able to go to a Super Bowl with no offensive line because they had their quarterback. Yes, very skilled skill position guys that the Bears could only dream of having. Not comparing those two situations, but like those are franchises that because they have the answer at quarterback, don't have to be desperate in finding out if they have the answer at quarterback. They can do the other things, and we'll see what the Bears are ended up with. It's a weird day for me. You ever like miss out on a guy's trip or like when your friends are having fun, you know?
Yeah, been there.
It hurts, right? It hurts. Like you got to put on a good face, be like, I'm happy to be home with my wife and kids. Like I'm being mature. I'm being budget conscious. Like it's hard to.
Would that completely mean it?
But no, I don't. Of course, I don't mean it. It's just what you have to say. And so, like. Spiegs and Mitch and Tanny are already tweeting pictures.
Yeah, man, who all is out there right now?
Everybody's out there.
Tanny's out there too.
they sent the sound guy, and he's not even running the board. And Tanny deserves it more than any of us to get the work trip, and he does his production remotely on his laptop. So, like, he didn't open for the show today, even though he's not working on it. Like, Tanny is the consummate professional. He literally does deserve it more than all of us. But, yeah, Tanny's there. Shane's there. Spiegs is there. Bernstein's there. Mitch is there. Cody Decker's there. Their wives, two of the wives are there. Like, it's just a whole party.
Did Mitch rent a private jet or something?
There was a charter. They booked like 30 tickets on this flight because they're bringing clients and sales staff and steakhouses and birthdays and they've got like no obligations. Like whoever booked the itinerary, they left Thursday at 8 in the morning. They come back Sunday at 4 p.m. They have two radio shows and a dinner. That's all they have to do. And they get to go to Vegas for 4 days. Doesn't make any sense.
So Bernstein's just going to be there, like, seeing Broadway-style shows the entire time, like going to Cirque du Soleil.
They're doing whatever they want.
At the tables. Yeah.
Yes. Bernstein and his wife have plans. Spiegs and his wife have plans. Shane and Tanny have plans. They're going out on the town, multiple dinners. It's just like when we went for Bears Raiders, we like flew in and landed at 2 a.m, had a show, had a dinner, had a show. There was the game, and we flew out at 5 a.m.
Like, was there any, like, hangout by the pool time? Was any of that going on?
Yeah, there was, but I'm just saying, like, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a great time. But this, like, I was sitting in the office when they were on their itinerary call, and it was like, I was, like, waiting for, like, and you're done? Why are you going for 4 days if you have 2 shows and a dinner? I don't understand. Right, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. When is the second show, by the way?
Saturday. They're doing a show Saturday that they it'll just be 5 people sitting on a microphone drunk. It's not work. I've done that show. They bring you pitchers of margaritas. You literally sit in a cabana at the pool and you have a tab and you just talk about whatever the hell you want. I'm very happy for them. See, this is what I'd have to do.
I can tell.
I have to lie. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But great guest list today. Vinny Goodwill, 3:00. Score stories today with Steve Stone.
Oh, wow.
Who has had multiple runs as baseball analyst at the Score. Has had run-ins with the Score. Has been called out by managers of the Cubs because of things he said on the Score. So, like, Stoney's relationship with this station goes back a ways. He's going to tell stories at 4:00. And then Boog Shambi's going to join us at 5:00. We maybe will talk a little Cubs, but he is the new voice of MLB The Show. First time there's been a new play-by-play voice for the signature video game for Major League Baseball in 16 years. There were over 120 recording sessions that he had to do. So, like, we're going to talk about how you become the voice of a video game and what goes into it. And then Bulls and NFL, and no, we will not talk spring training baseball results because Spiegs isn't here. And that's the show.
You can talk a little bit of Zach LaVine and the glow, being Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Work that in, too, over the next 4 months. Or 3.5 at this point. Make sure you get
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheeks.
My man, Cheeks.